supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Welcome to You Bet Your Garden from WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm your host, Mike McGrath. Later on in the show, go outside and take a good look at your garden. It might be a hot day. Are your squash plants, your pumpkin plants, your zucchini, do they look a little wilted? Well, maybe they'll perk up when the sun goes down tonight, but if they don't, I want you to check the bottom of the vine, because you have probably been savaged by the squash borer. We'll tell you how to avoid this pest in the future, and maybe even to save the day for your zucchini this season, after a lot of your fascinating phone calls, at 1-888-346-9499. Michelle, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Hi, Mike.
Hello, Michelle. How are you?
I am great. I'm sitting here with my kids, and they love you so much. We listen to your show all the time. Hi.
Okay, so what names?
Oh, we have Mia and Sophia.
Mia and Sophia, okay.
And they're 8 and 10 years old, believe it or not. They love your show.
Oh, we have the youngest demographic, I think, in public radio. I think kids are attracted to people their own age mentally.
I'm with you, Mike.
Now, I'm detecting a New York accent. Is that where we're getting you from?
Well, that's why I'm calling you. I'm originally from Brooklyn, so I never gardened in my whole life. And now I tried about 2 years ago, and we moved out to Long Island, and I started a little garden in some pots. We're doing mostly pots, yeah.
Right. Okay, so what's going on? What can we do for you?
I woke up this morning, and there is white, what is that called, mildew all over my zucchini plants.
Okay.
And I had sprayed them with neem oil, like maybe 5 days ago, because they had the mildew on it then.
Right.
But now it came back again, so I don't know if I'm doing the right thing.
Have you had a lot of rain, and or do you water your garden overhead or from a watering can?
No, we had a lot of rain.
Okay. And are your squash plants supported at all, or are they trailing?
No, they're supported.
Okay, good, good. How many, what percentage of the leaves are affected?
All of them, pretty much.
Okay. Well, and the bottom ones, they're the worst, right?
And they're turning yellow, yeah.
Okay.
I clipped those off like 5 days ago, but now it's starting again.
Well, okay.
And it's on the stem, too.
Okay. Good that you... Well, that's really weird. That's unusual.
Yeah.
Okay, so what kind of a pot is the squash in?
It's in a plastic pot. It's huge.
Okay.
It's like, yeah.
And it's got good drainage. And what did you fill it with?
You know what? I don't know if the drainage is all that good. So now I took the bottoms off because I did have holes in the bottom, but I feel like it wasn't draining.
Right.
So now I took the bottoms off. Maybe it wasn't draining enough.
Okay, so these are the kind of big plastic containers that have a snap-on bottom that holds water.
Right.
Okay. Yep. So you turn the plants on the side, you got the bottoms off, and there's decent drainage holes in the original pot.
Right.
Next year, when you reuse these pots, before you get started, you may want to take a drill or take a look. There may be other knockout holes in the bottom to improve the drainage. Because I'm guessing that the pot was very heavy, the soil is sopping wet.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, this is not a terrible problem. Now, what kind of squash are we talking about? Summer squash like zucchini or crookneck or a winter squash?
Zucchini.
Zucchini. Okay. So the first thing I'm going to tell you is if the zucchini just looks totally shot, there is no reason. Do you have seeds left over? Or did you start from plants?
No, I started from plants.
Okay. Because you could still go out and buy a pack of zucchini seed, start new plants, and you'll get good fruit from them in September. They are a very fast to mature crop. Everything is really warm now. They grow really fast. And they'll be in much better shape than spring-sown zucchini. So then if you want to do something crazy that I think will amuse the heck out of your girls,
Okay.
Do you guys drink milk?
Yeah.
Do you have a garden sprayer?
Yeah.
Make a solution of 9 parts water to 1 part milk and spray it on the mildewy leaves first thing in the morning.
Okay.
Nobody knows why this works, but it's been tested. And the way it's been tested is universities trying to disprove bogus gardening stuff. And
yeah.
A 10% milk solution is one of the best cures for mildew on plants. And next year, I really want you guys to really knock some extra holes in the bottom of your pots. Make sure you get good drainage.
Sounds good.
All right, Michelle.
Well, we love you, Mike.
All right. We love you, too.
Bye, Mike.
Bye-bye, kids.
Have a good day. Bye.
You. Bye-bye. 1-888-346-9499. Denise, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Hi, thank you.
Well, thank you, Denise. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I am just ducky, thank you for asking. Where is Denise well?
I am in the East Kensington section of Philadelphia.
Oh, East Kensington. Now we're coming up with new neighborhoods. Is that better? Are you closer to the river? Is that what that means?
No, East Kensington is between Frankfurt and Front.
Oh, okay.
And by the milk jug.
Oh, the giant milk bottle.
That.
Harbison's. The old,
yes.
Yeah, their water tower was shaped like a milk bottle. Is that still up there?
It is, yep.
Oh, man, I wouldn't want to be standing under that. All right, what can we do for Denise in East Kensington?
Well, I moved to this house a couple years back, and I knew that there was high lead in the soil, so I had it tested. And in fact, it came back so high that the recommendation was to not let children play on the soil.
That's correct, yes.
So we had the back concreted and a fence put up, but I just need nature in my life so much, so I wanted to have a couple trees. I decided to make a couple of planter boxes. They are 3 feet long, 2 feet wide, and 2 feet high.
Okay.
I have in one of them a dwarf lilac, and in the other I have a dwarf dogwood.
And when did you plant these trees?
It was this spring. So
okay.
We did the construction and the planting, I would say later in the spring.
Okay.
So right now what's happening is that they're just both plants are getting brown,
yes,
and crunchy leaves.
Yes,
they're not having a good time.
No, they're in hospice. Now, as you look at the trees in their boxes, can you see the root flare or do they both look like lollipops?
I had seen the root flare and I thought it was maybe a little bit too bare. So I put a little bit more on top and that looks like a lollipop.
Excellent, excellent. See, now, that's a true Philadelphian. You know how to seize defeat from the jaws of victory. Here's the deal. Very little that you plant long-term big trees and shrubs in summer is going to survive. It would have made much more sense for you to take your time, build the planter boxes, and then maybe have some actual fun over the summer. Maybe put in a couple of tomato plants or some peppers or something like that. And then I don't think your long-term plan was ever going to work.
Okay.
Because, you can't really plant trees in pots outside in our climate. Now, they would have survived last winter because it was so mild. But in a normal winter, their roots are going to freeze because their roots are technically above ground. I know you chose plants that you like. You were hoping to get blooming lilacs and a beautiful dogwood.
Yes.
But what you can do in, like, September is when these plants are crispy dead. Did they come with any kind of a warranty?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, yeah, because they're going to be firewood in another couple of weeks. But it's okay. This is how we learn. Every gardener starts by killing plants. If you truly want trees, if you truly want big things in your outdoor planters,
mm-hmm.
you have to get trees that are rated for growing outdoors in like zone 3 up in Minnesota. What you want to do is go to a decent reputable nursery, tell them you need a dwarf evergreen or two that will survive winter outdoors. Then you can have living Christmas trees in your backyard that you can even light up and decorate over the holidays. All right?
Well, thank you so much for all your advice. I appreciate it, and I look forward to using the dwarf trees that I got as firewood in the
Yeah, exactly. And thank you for taking care of your lead situation and being aware of the potential hazard. There's nothing worse than children playing in a yard that's filled with lead.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible.
So thank you for being aware of that. You did a great job.
All right. Thanks so much, Mike. It was great speaking with you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's time for me to take a little break and announce that I will appear at the Delaware Home Show in Newark on Saturday, September 10th, at the Spring City Library near Phoenixville on Friday evening, September 30th, and at the Fredericksburg, Virginia Home and Garden Show on October 15th and 16th. But don't go looking for all the details at the events section of our website just yet, because we'll be right back with the real reason your squash and pumpkin plants are wilting and more of your fabulous phone calls. I'm Mike McGrath, and you're listening to You Bet Your Garden from WHYY in Philadelphia.
Support for You Bet Your Garden is provided by the Espoma Company, offering a complete selection of natural organic plant foods and potting soils. More information about Espoma and the Espoma Natural Gardening Community can be found at espoma.com. And by Burpee, celebrating 140 years of introducing unique new varieties and providing treasured heirlooms, hardworking hybrids, live plants, garden supplies, and more. Burpee offers no treated seed or genetically modified organisms. More at burpee.com.
Welcome back to You Bet Your Garden from WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm your host, Mike McGrath. Coming up later in the show, are your pumpkin plants wilting? Does your zucchini look like it's in trouble? Check the base of the vine for evidence of the dreaded squash vine borer, a day-flying moth who lays an egg whose caterpillar that emerges eats your vine. What can you do to stop it? We'll tell you that. What can you do to know if they're in your garden? We'll tell you that, too. We'll also even tell you how, if your crops have been savaged, you can still grow some zucchini this very season. You won't want to miss it. It's coming up after lots more of your fabulous phone calls at 1-888-346-9499. Dominic, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. I'm in Swedesboro, New Jersey.
Very good. Very good. What can we do for Dom in the Garden State?
5 years ago, I bought this property, and it's all surrounded by farms, and I planted
fruit trees. I planted two peach, two pear, two nectarine, two apple, two plum, two cherry, and I'm not having any luck.
What do you, Noah's Ark of an orchard here?
I like fruit. But except for the pears, everything is like the apples, they get so misshapen and pockmarked, they're inedible. The peaches and the nectarines get stung by something, and they start oozing sap, and then they wind up falling off. The plums flowered so many flowers, I thought for sure I was going to have to cut some off so it wouldn't break the branches. And I went out there 2 weeks later, and they were gone.
Mm-hmm.
I think this year it was frost. We had a bad cold spell, but last year the same thing happened.
Yeah, this year, you got to take this year out of the equation because we did not have a late frost here in the Northeast. What we had was an incredibly warm winter.
Yeah.
So my peach trees, for instance, blossomed way early. And then we had a frost that was not late by any standards. We still had, we're 30 days before the last frost date when my trees got hit. And only because I still have my old parents' Christmas lights, the old incandescent multicolored Christmas lights that get burning hot. I put them up in the canopy of the peach tree, ran them for those couple of nights, and saved my crop.
That's a good idea. So my question really basically is, could you, I'll look at your site, could you recommend any books?
Oh, yeah, sure. Lee Reich, he is our go-to guy for fruit. He has about four books out there. The most recent one is called Grow Fruit Naturally.
Okay.
He also has one called Landscaping with Fruit. He is the author of The Pruning Book, and his last name is spelled R-E-I-C-H. So it's Dr. Lee Reich. His books are great. So you'll probably find one or two of his books at the library. You might have, you know, if you have an extension service office near you, they may have one of his books up on the shelf. But if you go, when you go to the library, go to our website, go to youbetyourgarden.org, and under Garden Answers A to Z, click on F for fruit trees and P for pruning, and that'll walk you through the basics, and it'll also reference Lee's books. Now, just some basic things. Are your trees mulched, and do you feed them?
No, because I didn't know what to feed them. I've heard some of the times you've told people not to use the 5-10-5 and 10-10-10, so I really don't know what to feed them.
And you've not mulched them either?
No.
Okay, good. And they flower beautifully in the spring, all of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So what you need to do is, beginning this winter, right before they flower, right after they start flowering, or in the dead of winter, you need to start pruning them. The apples and the peaches more heavily than the others. You say they've been in the ground 5 years?
Yes.
So, you know, you're not going to make up for 5 years of no care in one season. You're going to remove a third of the branches. You're going to remove any dead ones, diseased ones, crossing ones. You're going to try to open up the trees as best you can, but you're also going to look at them and say, I'm going to get them in shape over 3 years. You're not going to try to do it all at once. And then after the flowering is over and the little fruits start to form on the apples, the peaches, and the nectarines, you need to remove most of the fruits when they're just babies.
Mm-hmm.
Like at least half, preferably three quarters. Just take them off. And then when you've got the trees opened up and there's more airflow and there's more room between the baby maturing fruits, now you're already halfway to success. Then there is one single spray that I would urge you to get. It's called Surround, S-U-R-R-O-U-N-D. It's a clay spray. You get it from Gardens Alive. I'm not sure if anybody else actually sells it, but it's a micronized clay. You mix it with water, you put it in a sprayer, and then after you've done your pruning and thinning and the little peaches and apples are starting to get to a decent size, you start spraying the tree, and you'll spray it a couple times a season. And there's no chemicals involved. It just makes a physical barrier against those insects that, as you note, will bore their way into the fruit, or the diseases that cause the pockmarking and other problems.
Okay.
You know, get one of Lee's books, read the articles on our website, and every year you should get better at this.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for your help.
All right. Good luck, Tom.
Okay. Bye.
1-888-346-9499. Bob, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Bob. How are you, sir?
Very good. How are you?
I am just ducky. And where is Bob very good?
Murfreesboro, Tennessee. We're about 25 miles south of Nashville.
I think a lot of people know where Murfreesboro is. You know, it's not an unknown town, Bob. So what can we do for Bob in Murfreesboro?
Well, I have an infestation of Bermuda grass in my lawn. And let me just go back. I'll give you a brief summary. We moved into the house about 6 years ago. At the time, the covenants required that we put down a fescue sod. So it's half to three-quarters of an acre with a house in the middle of it. So there's not a lot of grass, but enough. Put down the sod, and it came up very nicely. Watered it frequently because we have a well, so we don't have that to worry about. Fertilized it according to a Scots type of plan. And everything was going ducky. Now, at that time, we had nobody on either side of us, and I noticed some Bermuda grass coming in, and it just got worse and worse and worse. Now I currently have houses on both sides. They both put in sod, and therefore last fall what I did, because the Bermuda grass was awful, I killed the entire lawn. And we put two coats of Roundup on it. Go ahead.
Oh, Bob, and you say you got wells. I mean, you know, it's not Vegas. What you put on your lawn does not stay on your lawn.
I understand that. The only reason we watered it once every other day. So it's, the only reason I say that is because frequently, with the price of water out here, people kind of starve their lawns for water.
No.
We don't have that problem.
Actually, Bob, I think you probably helped the Bermuda grass by overwatering and overfeeding your fescue. Just because you have a lot of something doesn't mean you should be using it all the time.
Okay.
So where are we now? Are we still scorched earth in a poisoned well?
No, what we did was we reseeded last year. And we put in the fescue this spring was beautiful.
Okay.
I mean beautiful. It was great, and I was very pleased. I was doing a happy dance.
Right.
And then the temperature went up, and lo and behold, I saw a wee bit of Bermuda grass. And now I'm almost back to where I was before.
So here's the deal. Fescue is an excellent cool season grass. As you know, it thrives in the spring and the fall. But in the summertime, it is extremely vulnerable for several reasons. One, it doesn't take the heat well. And two, it's a clumping grass, so it can't fill in its own bare spots. It's very vulnerable to a grass that would come creeping in sideways. If he had specified bluegrass or a mixture of bluegrass and fescue, that might have been a grass that could more resist incursion because the bluegrass is a spreading grass. But you've got a clumping grass that doesn't like your summer heat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know exactly whether you're going to do a third pass here, but your Bermuda grass, if you have a cold enough winter, the Bermuda grass should be killed. It's a warm season grass.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a mild winter, it's going to survive. But your Bermuda grass is at your strongest now. There's not a lot you can do for it or against it. But your fescue always needed to be cut no lower than 3 inches. If you cut it lower than 3 inches, then it was just a question of which other grass or weed was going to move in, not if one was going to move in. And watering every day is going to ensure that the roots of your fescue are the shortest possible. You needed to be watering like deeply once a week to get the fescue to send down the kind of roots that can resist incursion. But, you know, the bottom line is a grass like Bermuda, as you see in your area, in your neighborhood, in the rest of Tennessee, it's a much better grass for your region, right?
Oh, the golf courses love it.
Yeah, but you're not going to defeat the Bermuda grass with an herbicide.
Got it. All righty, sir.
Good luck, Bob.
I thank you. Bye-bye.
1-888-346-9499. Laura, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Laura. How are you?
I'm doing great.
And where is Laura great?
Laura is great in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. It's southeastern Pennsylvania. I think you're familiar with it.
Yeah, just outside of Philadelphia. Beautiful area.
Yeah.
What can we do for Laura in Bucks County?
Well, about 3 years ago, we started a compost bin. And by that, I mean it just is a bin where we put our yard waste and vegetables, flowers that we've clipped. But I haven't done anything to it as far as turning it, adding anything to it to make it an actual compost to use on gardens or landscaping. And I'd love to be able to use it, but I'm not sure what I should be doing now. It's getting pretty full.
Oh, okay.
And the animals like it at night, but that's not what it's there for.
Well, actually, see, that's why we're always – I get yelled at a lot of times because I tell people not to put their kitchen garbage in outside open piles because it attracts, you know, not only animals that you may think are cute, but mice, rats, you know, let's not forget that raccoons, although they might be cute looking, are cute little bags of rabies.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
it's,
we don't...
It's in a bin. It's covered. It's in a bin, but there's slats in the side, so things can get into the slats.
Okay, so is it a wooden bin?
It is a plastic, like a PVC bin.
Okay, but it came as a compost bin.
Correct, yes.
Here's two things. First, you know, a bin like that that has openings, that is a great place for yard waste. The majority of a compost pile, no matter what, should always be made up of shredded leaves.
Okay.
So in the fall, you're supposed to be shredding up your leaves with a leaf blower set on reverse or a lawnmower, mm-hmm. and filling the bin mostly with them. And then garden waste, dead plants, weeds that haven't gone to seed, all that kind of stuff you can put in there, and that'll mix up with the fall leaves. If you want to add something to really activate that kind of a compost pile, mixing in spent coffee grounds as you build it will really cook it up. But, you know, if you're talking about vegetable waste, fruits and stuff like that, then, mm-hmm. and you want it to be outdoors, then there are these sealed, recycled black plastic bins. Maybe you've seen them. There's some round, tubby ones. There's some rectangular ones. And they are sealed, and they have locking lids that raccoons and evil squirrels can't get into. So, you know, I don't, you know, if you're not going to get one of those, get a worm bin and keep your garbage inside because you're just inviting danger outside. Now, how long has this been quote, cooking?
Mm-hmm. We're working on 3 years, maybe a little bit longer.
Okay. And have you ever put shredded leaves in? Be
on
honest.
A regular basis, not on a regular, probably some leaves have gone in. Were they shredded? Probably not. They were gathered and dumped into the bin, but not shredded. We do put coffee grounds in regularly because we drink coffee every day.
Right. But see, the coffee grounds are more nitrogen, like the plants and your kitchen waste. You needed carbon in there in the form of shredded leaves.
Okay.
So, but, you know, compost happens no matter what. So how is this 4x4? You know, what size do you think it is?
It's probably not 4x4. It's at least 4 feet high, but I'm going to say it's more like 2.5 to 3 feet wide.
Okay, so it's a little thing. It's a little thing.
Yeah, it's not huge.
So what you're going to do, you know, next time early in the morning when the weather's nice or next time we get a break in the heat, I want you to go out, and then just you and your partner lift it up. And then get a pitchfork or a shovel or whatever, garden fork, whatever you got, and turn it. You know, if you want, if the top is all just garbage and stuff,
yeah,
just, you know, move the bin itself over to the side. And then all the stuff that's clearly just garbage and everything, just fork it over back into the bin again. But when you get to the bottom, when you get to the bottom third, even with you not putting in the right materials or treating it properly, I bet there's going to be about a 6-inch thing of compost at the bottom.
Okay, great.
And compost is ready to use when it looks like rich black soil, smells like rich black soil, and feels like rich black soil. Don't use it if there's still uncomposted stuff in it or if it has an off smell.
Oh, great. All right. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Good luck, Laura.
More enabled. Thank you. Take care, Mike.
Well, it's time for me to take a little break and remind everyone just about everywhere that we are now smack dab in the middle of the worst possible time to install new trees, shrubs, and other plants that you hoped would be perennial. If you already have those plants in hand, keep them in a shady spot in their pots until the summer heat breaks and reliably cool nights return. But don't go refilling that big hole in the ground just yet, because we'll be right back to save your squash, protect your pumpkins, and take more of your fabulous phone calls. I'm Mike McGrath, and you're listening to You Bet Your Garden from WHYY in Philadelphia.
Support for You Bet Your Garden is provided by the Espoma Company, offering a complete selection of natural organic plant foods and potting soils. More information about Espoma and the Espoma Natural Gardening Community can be found at espoma.com. And by Burpee, celebrating 140 years of introducing unique new varieties and providing treasured heirlooms, hardworking hybrids, live plants, garden supplies, and more. Burpee offers no treated seed or genetically modified organisms. More at burpee.com.
Welcome back to You Bet Your Garden from WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm your host, Mike McGrath, and we're in the stretch now, cats and kittens. In just a little bit, we will discuss the dreaded squash vine borer. I will correct a previous mistake I used to make, tell you what this pest looks like, how to trap it to know that it's after your plants, what to do if your plants have already been attacked, and in the worst case scenario, help you still grow really good zucchini this season. It's a miracle, and it will occur after a couple more of your fabulous phone calls at 1-888-346-9499. Ben, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Hey.
Ben, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Doing very well.
And where is Ben doing well?
Ben's doing well in Nicetown. Philadelphia. Nice town, Philadelphia.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. I know the area well. What can we do for Ben in Nice Town?
Well, I bought this house a little over a year ago, and when I look at the grass, the yard, it has what looks like moss or like mold, like, you know, what you might find on the side of a mountain or something like that, like a green furry kind of growth on the ground.
Right.
And it's in the grass, and I'm not really sure what to do with it. I don't really want to put down any chemicals or anything like that, but whenever I cut the grass, you can like really see it, and it's kind of weird. Like, what is it?
Oh, I think you said exactly what it is. It's moss, M-O-S-S. It is a plant. It's a plant that doesn't send roots into the soil, that just kind of, as you pointed out, it'll grow on the side of a rock. It'll grow on the side of a tree. It can become a hazard when it grows on pavements and walkways because it can be very slippery underfoot, and it grows in lawns under certain conditions. But you're almost totally in luck, more than likely, because those conditions can be easily changed.
Great, great.
Now
well,
you're.
What do I do?
Well, you're in a row home, I'm presuming.
No, it's a twin. It's a twin. So it's just one house connected on one side, and
sure.
Then you know, it's all my grass and stuff on the side and behind that.
And so, is the lawn in front or in back?
It's on the side and in the back.
Okay. And how much sun does it get?
Gets a lot of sun. Well, it did get a lot of sun. There's actually, this is, like I said, I've only been here about a year, a little over a year, so I bought the house in June of last year. So I'm not sure if I really paid attention, but there's about four trees that my neighbors have that kind of block out a lot of the sun, but it's still pretty sunny in those areas.
Okay, well, that's not the worst thing that can happen, because you probably have a cool season grass that likes the spring and the fall, and summer heat
yes.
can stress it. So a little bit of shade in the summer is not the worst thing that can happen. Now, you say you've been cutting the lawn. Have you had lawns before? Do you have experience with lawns?
Not really, no.
I was kind of guessing that. So what kind of a mower do we have?
I'm one of those guys who looked at those weed whacker things, and I kind of thought they were cool, and I bought one of those, and, you know, it's kind of a lot of weed whacking, but that's what I use.
Oh, okay, so you really don't have, right, okay, so we're getting to where the problem is. So here's what you're going to do. You're not going to really do, right now, you're going to go out, and you're going to find a nice lawnmower on sale. You can probably get an electric mulching mower that just plugs in, because it doesn't sound like you have far to go from the house, right?
Right, right.
Right, so this way you won't have to mess with gas and oil. Get an electric mower. They might even make rechargeable ones now, but it's really not that hard to use one with an extension cord. Make sure it's a mulching mower, because you're not going to collect your clippings or anything like that. And make sure that you can adjust it up to cut it 3 inches. And then when we get to around, well, actually now what you could do is go to the home center, go to the hardware store, and get a bag of agricultural lime, L-I-M-E, and you're going to spread that on your lawn. Your lawn is very acidic. That's why the moss is thriving. So you'll spread the lime on your lawn. They'll tell you how much to use, and that'll kill the moss, and it'll get your soil into the right kind of pH. And then when we get to the middle of August, I want you to get a load of topsoil or compost delivered, enough that you can at least spread an inch or a half an inch over top of all of your existing lawn surface, and then get a nice branded grass seed, something that's a sun and shade blend, but with a brand name, so you can buy it again if you have to. And then at the end of August, just mix that into the topsoil or compost, rake it around, keep it well watered, and then don't cut it until it gets to be about 4 inches in height. And if from that point on you just cut an inch off when it gets to be 3 inches tall, you should have a great looking lawn in the future.
Thank you very much. So this is like a doctor's diagnosis. I'm writing it all down. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm definitely wanting to figure that out.
All right. Good luck, Ben.
Thank you.
Take care. 1-888-346-9499. Sue, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Ah, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, thanks for being had, Sue. Where are you?
I'm in Norman, Oklahoma.
Oh, I had such a great time in Oklahoma around Earth Day this past spring. You guys just, the hospitality was almost fatal. I barely survived. It was wonderful.
We go all out for that in most places.
Yeah. So what can we do for Sue in Oklahoma?
Well, I've got 11 tomato plants put out. They're all in containers, you know, not in the ground.
Okay.
They are growing like crazy. They're lush and green and beautiful and no blooms.
Yeah. What kind of containers, Sue?
I have two in large pots. I'd say it's about 2 feet in diameter and about 2.5 feet tall.
Okay, that's a good. That's a large pot. Now, they're each in their own pot, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, continue.
Okay, I've got marigolds on with all of them, too, because of getting rid of
That's fine.
Pests.
That's fine.
And I have one large container. It's the size of an ice chest. It used to be an ice chest. And we bought it out at the farm market where it's mostly water with just a couple of inches of dirt and then water all the way down the rest of the way.
Oh, that's not going to work.
Those are the most beautiful. Yeah. It's not.
Oh, no. I mean, there's no drainage holes in the bottom?
Oh, yes, there are. Yes,
oh.
There are.
Okay.
It has a drainage tube.
Oh, okay. And it's working.
And it's they're growing. They're just not blooming.
Okay. How many tomatoes do you have in your old ice box?
Two.
Okay. And then what about the rest?
And the rest of them are just in various containers about the same size.
Okay. Now, what did you fill the containers with?
Potting soil from the garden store.
Okay. That's not
good. And some mulch.
What do you mean mulch?
Oh, you know, it's you buy that at the garden store, too. They say it's supposed to feed the plants.
No. Mulch is something you put on top of the soil to prevent weeds and retain moisture.
It says mulch on the bag.
It says mulch on the bag. Did it look like chunks of wood?
Yes.
Okay.
Ground up.
Yeah, yet you shouldn't have used that. And well, are you feeding them anything?
Not so far.
Okay. Well, with potting soil and wood mulch, I don't understand how they'd be even getting big. There's no nutrition in any of that.
Mm-hmm. So I need just some good fertilizer?
Well, not if you already have big plants but no flowers. I know Oklahoma can get really hot really fast. Are they getting full sun all day long?
About half a day.
What?
Yes.
Which half?
One group in the morning and the other group in the afternoon.
Okay, and nothing is changing.
Mm-mm.
Huh? All right, well then, the only thing I can suggest is you go to a garden center and you look for an organic tomato food. An organic tomato food will have a lot of calcium in it, which will help you down the line, but it also has some fast-acting natural phosphorus in it. That's the flowering nutrient. You know, apply that at about the rate it says on the bag. It'll tell you like a cup per plant or something like that. And then cover that plant food with compost or topsoil. No more wood. But by covering it, you'll help it get to the plants faster. And hopefully the phosphorus will give you some flowers. You still got a long season of growing
right.
to come. Give them a nice food. It doesn't sound like they've really been fed anything. And, you know, you say they look nice now, but they're going to run out of gas soon. So get them a good organic tomato food, cover it over with topsoil or compost, and no more mulch.
That sounds good to me. Thank you.
Okay, good luck, Sue.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, as promised, it's time for the question of the week. where we will explain why your wilting squash plants may just be bored to death. Alexis Landis, get us started with this week's intriguing comment, more than a question, really.
Sure, Mike. We heard from Jonathan, who listens via podcast in Kearney, Nebraska, which he explains is right along the Platte River, home of the annual sandhill and whooping crane great bird migration. He writes, "Over the past few years, I've heard you talk to many callers about the squash vine borer moth and the damage it causes to squash and zucchini plants. I can attest to how frustrating these pests can be, second only to cucumber beetles in my garden. This year, I'm trying your suggestion of wrapping the lower part of the vine in medical gauze. I've seen a lot of the moths this year, so this tactic will certainly be put to the test. My reason for writing is that you have recently referred to this pest as a night-flying moth. Perhaps they also fly at night, but they seem to be out in force during the day in my garden. I'm an amateur wannabe entomologist who loves to study and photograph the insects in my yard. The squash vine borer moths are highly attracted to my common milkweed plants, and I see them out during the day feeding on the flowers alongside flies, bees, wasps, and butterflies. I have attached a photo to ensure we are talking about the same insect. Note, I now have better camera equipment, but I don't take the time to photograph them anymore. I'm focused on squashing them before they can make it to my zucchini plants."
Well, I have to say, this is one of the most polite corrections I've ever received. And Jonathan is completely correct. Although I have been saying lately that these pests fly by night, I at least did get it right and call them day-flying moths when we did our previous articles on these pests. I guess I forgot and or got lazy and started grouping them in with the vast majority of garden-destroying moths, all of which do fly at night.
Jonathan's excellent photo shows a clear-winged insect that looks more like some kind of bee or wasp. The long orange body is the opposite of what I think of as moth-shaped.
Which is why we're posting that photo on our website and with the online version of this question of the week, so people will realize that their squash and pumpkin plants are under attack when they see this very distinctive, yeah, very wasp-like insect.
Specifically, the female moth will lay an egg at the base of a squash vine near where it enters the soil. The egg will hatch out a very tiny caterpillar that will quickly eat its way into the hollow vine, where it can feed undetected, at least until you notice your plants wilting and see the sawdust-like frass at the base of what is now probably an almost completely severed vine.
Now, if you go out and see that this is happening to your crops right now, pull those plants up and squish the nasty little caterpillars you find inside. Otherwise, those caterpillars will drop into the soil and pupate, emerging as flying adults next spring in cooler portions of the country, but later this summer in warmer climates where this pest has two generations a year.
Either way, no zucchini or pumpkins this year.
Well, it may be too late in most regions to replant and ripen up a crop of pumpkins, but there's still plenty of time to plant a new run of zucchini and other summer squash and get a nice harvest. The seeds will really germinate fast in this warm soil, and the plants are going to produce more quickly than their listed days to maturity might lead you to believe. And there won't be any egg-laying moths active now in the North and Mid-Atlantic, so those gardeners don't even need to try and protect these late-season vines.
What about our listeners in warmer climes, where second-generation moths may be buzzing around?
Same as before, pull out any damaged plants and squish the hidden pests. Now, if there aren't any caterpillars inside your damaged vines, dig around in the soil under the plants until you find their pupal stage and squish that.
My, we're doing an awful lot of squishing today.
Everybody who gardens has lost plants to these pests, myself included, so we're not taking any prisoners. Then plant fresh seed and put yellow sticky traps out around the emerging plants. These moths are attracted to the color yellow. Some websites suggest placing yellow-colored bowls of water around the plants. Apparently, the moths will drown themselves in the water, and that'll alert you that they're out and about. I think that yellow sticky traps might work a lot better. And they're widely available in garden centers. They work on a lot of different plant pests.
Or, hey, why not do both water and traps?
It can't hurt. Either way, if and when you catch your first moth, start spraying the vine with insecticidal soap to smother any eggs on it, or with the old original form of BT, BTK, to kill the caterpillar when it takes its first bite of the vine. Or just gently wipe the vines down with a damp cloth twice a week, and that physically removes the eggs before they can hatch. Then, next season, use traps to detect the adult's emergence time and delay planting until after they're gone. Or plant really good-sized starts and wrap the vines with medical gauze or aluminum foil at planting time to create a physical barrier against the pests. Well, that sure was some hopeful information about beating the borers in time to still grow a zucchini the size of a baseball bat this season, now wasn't it? Luckily for you, the question of the week appears in print at the Gardens Alive website. To read it over in detail, just click the link for the question of the week at our website, youbetyourgarden.org. Gardens Alive supports the You Bet Your Garden question of the week. Yikes, my producer is threatening to vilify my vines if I don't get out of this studio. We must be out of time. But you can call us anytime at 1-888-346-9499. Or send us your email, you're tired, you're poor, you're wretched refuse teeming towards our garden shore at garden@whyy.org. And if you want a response, please include your location. And visit our website, youbetyourgarden.org, where nobody cares about your location. And where you'll probably find the answers to all those questions you were going to email us, as well as audio of this show, past shows, and our podcast. Elizabeth Perez Luna is executive producer of audio content for WHYY. Ken Queter plays our theme song. Our engineer this week is Al Banks. Our social media director is Amanda McGrath. Check out her fine work and like us at the You Bet Your Garden Facebook page. Rich Banowitz and Sarah the She-Devil Kazar keep our website non-boring. Our intrepid intern, Emma Bixler, has never perforated a pumpkin. Our editor, Al Banks, was once suspected of savaging a squash. Day-flying Alexis Landis produces You Bet Your Garden for WHYY-FM in Philadelphia. I'm your host, Mike McGrath, and I fly by night. So if I don't bang myself silly against a porch light, I'll probably see you again next week.
It looks like a yellow cherry tomato, but it's a poisonous plant. On the next thrilling episode of You Bet Your Garden, host Mike McGrath will discuss the weird weed known as horse nettle, plus a garden retreat that helps our veterans heal, and your fabulous phone calls.